Second World War. And when I met you, I didn't like you. But the more I got to know you, I don't see why we can't be friends. I never forgot that conversation because it was just a matter of heart to heart, you know? Have you ever misjudged someone when you first met them? I mean, don't you? You notice how we do that, right? You know, we just, it's one of those, you know, we laugh at it, but I don't like the way you look kind of thing. And we do that sometimes, right? Maybe they remind you of someone or, you know, for whatever reason, we don't take the time to take a second look and get to know. And nowhere, interestingly, can this be more true than in our relationship with God. We can have these preconceived notions of God that you know, keep us at arm's length. We might look at nature, you know, to use Jack London's phrase, red in tooth and claw, and say, why? Why is the world like this? And, you know, how could a good God allow that without taking into mind the Bible's clear teaching that the world is broken? Or, you know, we might look at the Father sending Jesus to die to save us and say, why would someone send his son as a blood sacrifice and not go himself? And when we do that, we overlook the concept of the Trinity. That's right. He did go himself, that Jesus is God himself, who freely and lovingly gave himself on our behalf. But it takes time to let that sink in and to understand that really from the heart. Just like it takes time to get to know someone, it takes time to get to know God. And that's what our scripture is about this morning. It's from our reading this week, but it gives us a life hack, if you will, for how we can do this, how we can know him better. So let's go there. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. But how many guessed that we'd be in Ephesians this morning? Anybody guess that? Okay. Paul writes, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you." And that's literally an image of light shining into someone's eyes when you're in darkness. "The riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people and his incomparably great power for us who believe." That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. What a picture of Christ is in that. It makes me That's why I chose this picture on the front of the bulletin, because you know it's an amazing example of what Jesus does for us. He brings us out of darkness, if you will, out of death, into life. He opens our lives and our hearts to new visions and possibilities that we never would have realized, we never would have seen before. And it is the Holy Spirit who does this, who gives us what Paul calls wisdom and revelation. It's not our wisdom, it's His. It's His opening our eyes, new ideas from God. And this is what helps us know the Father, know Jesus better. And that's why we want to pray to be filled with the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God is the Spirit of Jesus. And He brings more of Jesus, more of His peace, more of His presence, more of His strength into our hearts and lives. So letting Jesus in is like opening a curtain on a dark room. And suddenly you begin to see colors that maybe you didn't realize were there. And fresh air flows in. Paul writes these new believers to show them that they can see God and see themselves, because we need that, in a whole new way. And it's entirely freeing. Look again at verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people. You have something you never had before. You have capabilities that you never had before. And His incomparably great power for us who believe. I think about my son when he was wrestling with addiction, and for years he had heard, "You're an addict, you'll always be an addict. That's who you are. This is what you are. You are an addict. You have this tendency. It came to you genetically, through your mother, through your father." And his father, and her father, and how many generations back? And you know, it's like Atlas, this weight on his shoulders, until he's set free with the words, "If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come." So yes, all of us may have particular weaknesses in our gene pool, but that doesn't matter. It's the work of Christ, which is all-consuming, which transforms us and makes us new, so that things are possible for us that never were before. And when we see that, when we get that, that's where Paul is going here. It's like he's looking at the church in Ephesus and the individual members and say, do you know what's in you? Better put who's in you and what can happen in your heart and life because He is? Because the difference He can make, that is what can define you. Not this world, not its brokenness, not its sinfulness. Why? When God offers us so much more. This is the last week that our puppies are at home. And I don't know, it's like I've had the soundtrack for the movie Gremlins in my head, if you remember that one. You know, it's like you walk into the room and it's a dun 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 dun. I mean, they're little teeth are so sharp, and You know, it's like they take me down at the ankles. But I mean, honestly, one of my favorite things to do is to just sit down on the floor with them. And when I do it, I love watching their little personalities, because some are like in your face and some of them are a little more gentle, you know. But even though they chew on me until I bleed, I've got the marks to prove it, it's a joy to me. I love it. I have to believe that maybe, you know, that's something good from God, you know, that I take that kind of joy in them. It's part of being made in His image, you know. He's come to sit down on the floor of our world and to laugh with us and love us and pull us close to Himself so that we can know Him. One of the best compliments we received from one of our clients in that endeavor was, "You teach your puppies how to be loved by humans." And if you think about it, that's not unlike what God has done for us. He's taught us how to be loved by Himself. And that's what Paul is writing about letting His love in. A friend of mine wrote me the other day saying the only way to keep something forever is to give it to God. And that's what Jesus said. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, not on this earth. So what greater treasure could we have in heaven than Him, than knowing Him? He is the one who makes it heaven. And yet we're so easily pulled aside by so many other things. And this is where what Paul writes to the Ephesians can help us. The Puritan Matthew Henry wrote, "God has laid up spiritual blessings for us in His Son, the Lord Jesus, but requires us to draw them out and fetch them in by prayer." So Paul, his example is, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. You see that all over Paul's writings, right? I never stop praying for you. Pray without ceasing, you know. He is devoted to, Epaphras is always wrestling in prayer for you. You see this again and again. And the point is that prayer takes work. It takes commitment. It's not something that we're going to feel like doing. Chances are, most of the time, we're not going to feel like doing it. But the interesting thing is that God meets us in that place and again opens our eyes, our hearts and minds. Like he's praying, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. I mean, just yesterday I realized I needed to take more time in prayer than I had been, and I had to work at it. But what was interesting was that as I did, there was a deeper peace suddenly that I had been missing. And if you and I want more peace in our hearts and lives, then we've got to go there. We've got to go more into that place of work through prayer. And what we're reading here is a great prayer to pray for others and also to pray for ourselves, you know, to take home and just let it sink in. And there is going to be homework on that note, so please pay attention. But let's pick up at verse 19 and verse 20. That prayer is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in you and me. Think about that. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in you and me. What does that mean for that sin we can't get over? What does that mean for that place where others are unkind? What does that mean when we worry about what the future holds? There are things that God wants to do through you and me. And we want to be a part of that. We want to go there. Because there's nothing better than seeing the love and light of Jesus shine through someone's eyes and realize that maybe, just maybe, God used you. You got to have something to do with that. And this is the work that he calls us to. Right? Go into the world. Make disciples. Our prayers are a huge part of that. And this prayer can be a huge part of that. Even though it's for the church, you can pray it. For someone who doesn't know Jesus, I pray that the eyes of their heart may be opened so they can see him, know him. It's a great scriptural prayer to pray. I think of a friend I prayed for years. I actually got to know her that same year. I was a student in Germany. She was another American. Her dad was a professor at an Ivy League school. And her mother had died a few years before, and that just broke her. And it sent her down this road where she was bulimic and wrestling with alcoholism and overly sexual. And, her life was just a mess. She was just in a hard, dark place. But we'd talk sometimes about Jesus, and she was always like, You could tell God was at work there. And one day, actually several years later, she calls me, and I'll never forget the sound of her voice. She said, "James, I've got the love of God." She went to a church that was a faithful church that believed in Jesus' power to save us and set us free. And I was one of the first calls she made. And she stayed faithful in that commitment to Christ. And it was just, beautiful to see God bring life out of her brokenness and light where there was just so much pain. But that's who Jesus is and what he does. Verse 21, he is far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things, under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way, including you and me. Think of the language he uses about himself, right? Living water, bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never thirst again. Whoever eats, will never hunger again. Fullness of Him. That's what He wants for us. More and more fullness in Him. So, I mentioned homework, and here it comes. I'd like to ask you to pray these verses every day this week. And here's how we're going to get it done. In a moment, I'm going to ask you, and the preacher is ahead of schedule. So we've got a couple minutes for this. I'm going to ask you to go to someone. Maybe you can do it just where you're sitting. And agree that you will pray these verses for them. And that they will pray them for you. Now, I'm not going to, you know, don't worry. I don't want this to be this is a no pressure kind of thing. If anyone is uncomfortable in that kind of conversation, it's okay. But many of us would be perfectly comfortable doing this. So I want to encourage you guys, find someone and say, I'm going to pray this for you this week, and you're going to pray this, you know, would you pray this for me? And maybe just go to someone you're thankful for. Just as Paul says, I always thank God for you when I remember you in my prayers. But do this so that the eyes of our heart may be open. And I spontaneously, I'm going to free everyone. We're not going to play any music or anything. We're just going to do this. Because it's worth it. Because Jesus is worth it. So let's do this, can we? Let's go ahead and just go to someone now, and go ahead. Let's stand, if you will. We'll remain seated. Talk to someone near you, but we're gonna take a moment. And he's putting the pressure on this one, not really. Thank you. That's one we don't sing enough. Isn't that a beautiful, beautiful poetic hymn? Yeah. Yeah. I want to go back to the first. Ken, could you take it back to the very first part, because we missed that. There it is. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. That is the message of Christianity. It is precious and unique. Every other faith says that you must do this and this and this, and then perhaps, you know, if you've kept the five pillars, perhaps there'll be mercy for you. If you've gone through so many cycles of reincarnation, perhaps. If you can cease desire, perhaps there'll be a future and a hope for you. But Christianity's message is, oh, you are loved, you are loved. And if you receive that love, it will receive you, whoever comes to me. I will not turn away, Jesus said. The beauty of who he is and what God has done through us, for us, through him. Father, we praise you for your son. We praise you for him. We praise you for what you have done in coming to us through him. For your Spirit who is with us even now and in this room. And my prayer is that no one would leave this room without receiving this gift from him he so longs to give. And it is the gift of his love. And if we can pray, yes, Lord, I want to let your love in to my heart and to my life. I need your forgiveness. I need to be set free from my darkness and my sin. Would you come do that? Would you let your love in? He will. He will. And as we continue to pray for each other this week, let's just pray that we'll increasingly know him better. Because there's nothing better. There is just nothing better. And know that if you received him today, or that if you've received it before, there is hope for you that goes deeper than you know, because his love is like that. And so we rest in you, Abba Father, and we praise you for yourself. We love you, and we look forward to loving you more. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace, or stick around. We're going to...